All right. Have you ever heard that old proverb, it's better to give than to receive? Raise your hands if you've told your kids that, or if your parents told you that at some point. Better to give. All right, now, kids, raise your hands if you believe it. One, and he's lying. Yeah, so me either. When I was a kid, I was actually a pretty lousy gift giver. In fact, one Christmas, I took gift giving to an all new low. The bottom line is I've waited until Christmas Eve, hadn't bought a present at all for anybody, but I wasn't worried. I was clever. I was resourceful. So the next morning, my dad opens his present, and I mean, it's all in the packaging, right? Anyway, I wrapped him real nice. And there's a bottle of cologne. If you looked carefully, you'd notice that it was the exact same bottle of cologne I gave him the year before, just refilled with a little water to look new. Then my mom opened her present, and it was a pack of coupons that she could redeem, and the coupons would allow her to get me to do some chores. Now, conveniently, they were the chores that I already was supposed to do. Anyway. And then my brother opens his gift and finds, now his was a great big box, so you know, that my parents were thinking, okay, he saved his money to get something for his brother. Big box. He opens the box, and there is a can of used tennis balls and my old tennis racket. Strong, but with a crack in it. My family still gives me a hard time about the year of used gifts. You know, the way we give says a lot about who we are. Now, you may be thinking, okay, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. Why are you talking about Christmas gifts? There's actually a really good reason. You see, last week, I completely forgot to take up the offering. It's true. Now, we've tried to alternate out here between sometimes passing the bowls and sometimes just leaving the bowls by the door over here and just reminding you that if you'd like to contribute, you can just leave them in the bowl on your way out the door. Well, last week, I forgot altogether. And just like my family gives me a hard time about the year of use of gifts, I don't think I'll ever hear the end of this one from the church office. Here's one email I got this week. Scott, you may want to hold off on cashing your paycheck until next week's offering. Yeah. Now, the timing of this whole thing is just painfully ironic because before I forgot the offering, it was scheduled for me to be standing up here to give you a sermon on stewardship, how we use our time, our talents, and ultimately our treasures. But before I jump into that, in all seriousness, I got to be honest with you, I wasn't looking forward to this sermon at all. I just don't really like talking about money. Us Americans, I mean, let's be honest, we get a little defensive when somebody tells us how to spend our money. And truthfully, I've never done this before. I have never preached a sermon about money. But it's in my job description now, as is take up the offering. So I want to start by defining stewardship, because that's a word we're going to use, you'll hear me use quite a bit. And ultimately, what we're talking about is making godly choices with our time, our talent, our treasures, our resources. That is stewardship. And when we talk about those things, we're not necessarily talking about in the context of the church. Stewardship means how we use those things as a member of God's family and with accountability to God. You could take the church out of it. Stewardship is still a Christian principle that we need to practice. So let's start with that. Question number one, why do we really need to talk about it? And that's a great question. In fact, I know there are people who have left the church. There are people who have left this church because, in their own words, I've heard this, all you do is talk about money. Granted. But here's the thing. Stewardship is not just about money. In fact, it's not really about that at all. Stewardship is about who we are as God's people. So it starts with understanding that you are not just a Christian. Hopefully you are a Christian, but you're not just a Christian. The writers of the Bible would never have imagined someone considering themselves a Christ follower as if that's something you can do separate from life together in the church. So we are more than just Christians. We are Christians who are the church. Do you hear how I said that? Not Christians who are part of the church. We are Christians who are the church. That's who we are. But we're more than a church. As a church, we are the body of Christ. We exist to be the hands and the feet of Christ in the world. That's why stewardship matters. So beyond all that, it's also important to understand our mission. Now, when I say mission, here's what I mean. God called the church into existence not for itself, but for the sake of the world. Just like God sent Jesus into the world to save the world, God sends the church into the world to be Christ to that world. So, what's our mission? It's to be God's people in the world. It's to fulfill what we prayed just a moment ago in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, heaven and earth collide in the life of the church. Whatever is a reality in heaven, you can catch a little glimpse of it, even if just dimly, right here in our life together. So our worship, our small groups, our service to the community, in those things, we demonstrate to the world a little foretaste of what's to come. And we exist to give the world a taste of just that, what God has in store for the whole world in the end. So the way we love, the way we care for each other, the way we forgive, the way we share, the way we serve, the way we demonstrate Jesus to the world, those are the reasons that stewardship matters. Now, there's one other starting block that we need to get under our belts here, and it's an understanding of who we are individually. So hear these words again from 1 Corinthians. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have been given from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Now, in Paul's day, Paul was the guy who wrote that letter to the church in Corinthians. In Paul's day, people knew what slavery was. In fact, there might have been people in that church that Paul was writing to who were slaves. They understood what it meant to belong to another. They understood what it meant to have your entire life be about doing someone else's will. So to them, Paul says, your life is not your own. The price that was paid, the verse says, you were bought with a price. The price was Jesus on the cross. God paid dearly for us and bought us. The reason our lives are not our own is because they belong to God, who paid a precious price so that we would belong to Him. Now, it's possible to read that and think and have these feelings of, you know, control and oh, God controls me. I'm not my own. That feels like it constricts our freedom. But you know what? Really, the fact that we are not our own sets us free to experience what freedom really is. Because before God bought us, we were kind of bound to one thing. You know what that was? Ourselves. Before we belonged to God, we weren't free to love our neighbor because we would love ourselves more. Before we were bought by God, we weren't free to do all the things we're going to talk about in just a minute about stewardship because we were less concerned about God's economy than we were our own economy. So the fact that God has bought us means that we are truly free. Free to follow and free to be faithful. But it also comes with great responsibility. And that's why in the first passage we read in Luke, it says, if you haven't been faithful with what belongs to another, who's going to give you what is your own? What belongs to another, remember, is you. We belong to another. Will we be faithful with what belongs to God? And that is our life. Okay, those are kind of the starting blocks. Ultimately remembering our whole life belongs to God for the sake of demonstrating to the world the goodness of God. Got it? We're good? All right. So, with those as the starting points, it's important to think about stewardship. How do we use our time, our talents, and our treasures? There's a guy in the room right now who mentors at-risk high school kids in Champaign. Right now, he's mentoring a particular young man. And when I say mentoring, I mean a lot more than just showing up at an office building somewhere for a weekly meeting to give the guy a pep talk. This guy gives the young man his cell phone number. He goes and picks him up at his house whenever the guy needs some attention. He brings the guy to his very own home, gives him odd jobs to earn money, sometimes brings him to church, takes him to other cool events. This guy rearranges his life and his schedule in order to be able to say yes to what God has led him to do. There's other people in here who give countless time and energy to our children and our youth programs. People who could very easily be doing some other things on Wednesday nights, but they have rearranged their schedules to be able to say yes to God, asking them to invest in our most precious commodity, our children. And there's a bunch of people in this room who are college students who sacrifice their time, which could very easily be spent doing some other fun things, but they sacrifice their time to get together with high school kids, some who don't know Jesus at all. These kids rearrange their schedules so they can say yes to God, asking them to demonstrate the love of God to a hurting world. That's what stewardship is about. So when it comes to our time and our talent, are we willing to sacrifice our own priorities, remembering that we are not our own? And the whole reason is so that we have the time to say yes to what God has in store. So today, that's what I'm asking you to consider. How is God calling you to schedule your life so that you can say yes to His leading? Now, when it comes to our treasure, this is the hard part. This reminds me of my very first sermon I ever preached. It was at my home church, the church I grew up in. I was out of college and had actually, I think I'd done my first year of seminary and I was back home for spring break. It was Mother's Day. And so I pulled a sermon out that I had just done for a preaching class, and it was on that passage where Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, he must, you know, take up his cross and follow me daily. Hate your father and your mother. That one went over real well. There were a lot of ladies crying, and my mom said, oh, it was just because it was beautiful. Treasure. You know what? Let me be really honest with you. Our church is doing okay financially. The bills get paid. My paycheck actually ended up clearing last week. The lights stay on. We're able to rent this space. We don't need more money in order to keep doing what we're doing. So I'm not standing here asking you for more money. Let me say that loud and clear. I'm really not. I'm here asking this question. Do we really want to just keep doing what we're doing? Or do we as a church need to rearrange our lives so that we have the ability to say yes to what God is leading us as a church to do? Are we doing all that God is calling us to do? Or maybe, are there 1,000 ways that we could be doing new things to live up to our call to show the world a little foretaste of what God has in store for them? Pastor Rick told me this week that our attendance as a church, if you add our three worship services together, the two downtown and the one out here, if you add them together, we actually have a bigger attendance than we've had in years. That's pretty exciting. It's exciting. Now remember, attendance isn't everything by any stretch, but here's what's happening. People are getting excited about being a part of the community of faith. Believe it or not, people are actually inviting their friends to come check out church. People are feeling the energy and the joy and the significance of what we're doing, and that is a foretaste of the divine. That's an example of heaven and earth colliding. But you know what? Imagine what would happen if we planted 3 or 4 more congregations in the next 5 years. Imagine what would happen if we unleashed in all of you your spiritual imagination to dream of what God is leading us as a church to do. Imagine. Imagine what would happen if we devoted ourselves and had the ability to say yes to dreaming, planning, innovating, praying, and discerning countless ways that we could share the good news of God's love. That's why stewardship matters. So remember the starting point. We're here as a church to give the world a little taste of what God has in store. God planted this church to demonstrate to the world his love. We're not here for ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God, and we are here for others. Remember also that we're not talking about money. Stewardship means rearranging our lives so that we have the time to invest in one another, to use our talents to invest and care for one another. Stewardship means using our gifts and our abilities, even our passions, for the sake of the other instead of ourselves. Now, yes, stewardship does include money, and it does mean examining how we individually spend our money so that we are free to respond when God leads us. And I guarantee you, if you're willing to listen, God will speak. God will lead you to something new. One of my dreams for this congregation, this launch, this one little part of First Presbyterian Church, one of my dreams is to see what you come up with. Because I believe it's going to be big. And I believe it's going to change our community. I know it's going to change our lives. But it's only going to happen when we make space to say yes to God. That's why I'm asking you this morning to consider how you use your resources, your time, your talents, and your treasures. How is God calling you to rearrange your priorities, maybe even to sacrifice a little bit on some of the luxuries of life, to be able to say yes to the ways that God is leading us as a church to share his love with the world?